to this very special episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. You are joining me, Pete Everett, and me, Pete Everett, today because I thought it would be a great opportunity to do a solo show. It's actually been about 20 episodes since I did a solo show, so it feels a little bit weird sitting here, actually, knowing that I've got a few things that I want to talk about, and nobody's going to be asking me the questions, and I'm not going to ask any of them. So anyway, what I thought I'd do today is talk a little bit about monthly recurring revenue, or MRR. Now, when we set up our agency 3 and a bit years ago, I had a real emphasis on making sure that we built our recurring revenue as quickly as we possibly could. In a previous job, I used to be responsible for the digital marketing team at an e-commerce agency. And basically, the metric that my job was measured on was how much of our recurring services, our digital marketing services that we charged on a recurring basis, what was the volume of those, how much money were they making, what was the cost on those, and ultimately how much profit was that service giving, was generating for the overall company. So when I started So, firstly, I knew the importance of recurring revenue, but I also had a mentality of this is how I'm going to approach generating recurring income, and these are the easiest ways that I can start, and then these are the services that I can scale up on. Some of them include extra levels of complexity, but by going through this, I can, as quickly as I possibly can, start to have the recurring revenue of the business to be more than the regular outgoing, so salaries and that kind of thing. And when you're a new business, you know, living hand to mouth, living from project to project, that can be very scary. In fact, it can be scary at any time. You don't just have to be starting out. But to have that regular cash flow, it really is an important factor in running any business. So the way we set about doing it was to identify the products and the services that we could offer that we could have we could sell on a recurring basis, and then put the infrastructure in place. So I just want to run through those two things with you during this episode. I'm going to start with the software, because before you can actually, you know, you can plan out any product and service that you want to sell, but until you've got the infrastructure set up, you can't actually sell it. So we use Xero as our finance software. And one of the great things about Xero is that it allows you to do repeat billing, or repeat invoicing, as it's called in the back end. So when you have a customer set up, we can set up the services that we offer in the back end. We sign up a new customer. The customer automatically gets generated in Xero through a Zapier integration. And then we can set up the invoicing. We also use Go Cardless as our direct debit software. So as part of our contracts for any of our recurring products or services, the client is required to pay by direct debit. So we will not start any work, and that's a really important point, we will not start any work until the client has completed their direct debit mandate, and it is all set up, and the cash can flow to and fro. Go Cardless do charge a fee for that, but personally, I would rather pay the couple of quid it is, whatever it happens to be per transaction, to know that the money is coming in on a particular day, on a particular time, so that I have the confidence in my cash flow. The other thing we do with our contracts is that all our recurring invoices get raised on the first of the month, which is great. I wake up on the first of the month and X many thousands of pounds has been invoiced. It's brilliant. But we also set a payment date through Go Cardless within that same month. So most of our recurring charges are invoiced on 14 days. So the invoice goes out on the 14th and payment is collected by Go Cardless on the 15th. And it arrives in our bank account 2 days later on the 17th. So there we go. You know, there's no hanging on for months and months in order for these recurring fees to come in. They go out on the 1st, they're collected on the 15th, and they're in my bank account on the 17th. And once again, that helps me sleep easy at night, knowing that that's the way that things are going to work. We then started thinking about the products and services that we could offer. Now, some of these are relatively low value and low risk, and then they scale up as the products and services get more complicated. So our cheapest recurring revenue income stream is through hosting. And we offer hosting through Cloudways, and I'm not going to give a tutorial on how to set up Cloudways right now, but we do use Cloudways for our hosting, and you know, again, through direct debit, we have a monthly hosting fee. We have a number of levels of that depending on which server specification clients want to be on, what type of traffic they have. We can even offer dedicated servers to clients, and you know, we set the payments up with the servers and payments up with Cloudways, and then we set the repeat billing up in zero, and off we go. That is it. We start receiving the money for that. We then also offer, as a bolt onto that, maintenance contracts. And now we outsource our maintenance contracts, and I'm going to come on to scaling and outsourcing in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, we outsource all of our main website maintenance, and again, we simply actually are just marking up the fee that we're being paid. So it's month by month rolling contract, and you know, as long as they're paying us, we're paying for the maintenance to happen. A monthly automated report gets sent out to the client, so they know exactly what's been done on their account that month. I know exactly what's been done on their account that month as well, and everybody's happy. And as yet, we have never had a maintenance contract fail on us. The key thing, actually, to that relationship working is the reporting, is the client actually understanding that whilst we've sent an automatic invoice and they've made an automatic payment and no human being seems to have been involved, it is really important for the client to know that work has been done. This is what's been carried out. This has been the result, and your website is in safe hands. That's basically what the website maintenance report reads. So That is actually our lowest form of recurring revenue. But, you know, by the time you've built a few dozen websites, those fees start to stack up. And then over periods of time, it becomes a significant part of your monthly recurring revenue. The next level of recurring service that we offer is social media management. Now, this is kind of, I'd say, one of our mid-level products, but we work on a monthly basis with clients, and by the time we get to this level of product, the client knows that we're working on stuff because we're having to start having regular contact with the client. And we manage our monthly social media through the generation of social media planners based on the different networks that clients want to use, the different target audiences. We use some statistical tools to go back and look at the different types of content that has proven good in terms of engagement and traction for the client over the past. And we generate more content for them on those on that basis. And then as we move up the tree, we then start to sell things like SEO services and content marketing services. And those packages start from between £500 and £700 a month with us, but they can be far bigger than that, depending on how much work the client wants us to do, how quickly they want us to do it, and what their targets and budgets and expectations are over a period of time. The key thing is, though, as you've probably just heard from the past 2 or 3 minutes of me talking, is that I have a clear understanding of what our recurring services are. We currently have 3 or 4, and that is it. We don't try and create a recurring service for every new client. If a client comes along and says, I really like an agency that can do this, and it's not something we don't do it. We firmly believe that we do what we do, and we do it well. And if we're not going to, if we can't do that, if we can't have that guarantee with ourselves and therefore with our clients, then we're probably not the best fit for you. And you know what? We know other people in the industry. We have friends now who run agencies that specialize in different ways. So it's very easy for us to refer work and refer clients on, which ultimately is actually about looking after the client. So we have our software set up and we know what it is we're going to offer on a recurring basis. So we then need to get around to selling the thing. Now, selling recurring services can be a challenge because, you know, when somebody comes to you and asks for a website, or they come to you and they ask you to write an article, or they come to you and they ask you to design a leaflet, it's very defined what it is you're producing. You're going from A to B, and that is it. The thing with recurring revenue, however, is that you start at A, but B keeps on moving over and over again. So it's a far bigger sell, it's a far bigger ask if you simply go into a new client and say, hey, I want you to give me 500 quid a month, so £6,000 a year. That is very different than saying, I want you to give me £5,000 and you're going to get this out the other end of it. Now, selling recurring services to an existing client becomes far easier because you wouldn't necessarily be having this discussion if they didn't already know you, like you, and trust you from the work that you've done before. However, selling to new customers does become far harder. So the way that we've approached this is actually to put some one-off sales right at the start of the process that feed into the recurring theme, but that they are still standalone products and services that, you know, if that's all you buy from me, you get something defined out the other end. So let's take an SEO retainer as an example. The first part of any SEO retainer is for us to look at the technicalities of your website, to give it a health check, see actually how much work on the website do we need to do before we can start worrying about keywords or content or anything like that. So we've produced a product that is an SEO website audit, and it costs £400, and it has a defined scope, and with that you get these reports, and we will give you a couple of hours of time in order to fix stuff, and if we need more time we'll happily quote you for it, but it is a defined product. You are coming to us and we are auditing your website from an SEO point of view. You will get reports at the end of it and you will get action, and that is what you're buying. The next stage for any SEO retainer is then to start looking at the keywords that you're doing and mapping those keywords to your website. So what is it your audience is searching for? How does that reflect in the current content of your website? Or do you need to create new content? How does that all fit together? Are there local search terms that you're looking for? Are you national? Are you international? How's your content structured in terms of the featured snippets for Google? There's a whole load of stuff that we can do when it comes to keywords and keyword mapping. So we've made that a second product, and it's more expensive than the website audit. So we're now starting to build traction with the client. They've had a low value, low risk audit that we have carried out for a few hundred pounds. We then introduce keyword mapping and we start moving towards the thousands of pounds for this. And then once that is complete and you've received your keyword map, you've received the keyword research, we've had a consultation call, we've gone through it all with you, you know what it is you've bought, we can then start saying, you've now got all of this stuff, you can see how much work there is to do. Well, what we want to do is we want to start working with you on a recurring basis, month by month, and we'll start chipping away at this. We'll come to you for the information that we need, and then we will give you proofs, upload everything onto your website, ready for the search engines to index it. And you know what? We'll even submit it to the search engine so that they know that there's something new there. And we'll do that month in, month out. We will give you a meeting each month where we'll report on what we've done, and we'll agree the actions for the next month. And that's it. Off we go. You know, a lot of customers want to talk to us about their business goals and how we can tie in their SEO strategy into what they're trying to achieve with their business. So there's a whole massive load of stuff that we can do under the guise of an SEO retainer, in inverted commas, or a content marketing retainer, or a social media retainer. But the way that we've put that to the client over the period of normally a month to a month to 6 weeks is through a number of productized services that build on each other, which then basically give us a running start when the retainer starts, which also gives us a great advantage, because if we were to start a retainer with an SEO audit and with some keyword research, the reality of it is that we might not actually see significant search engine results for maybe the first 2 or 3 months. Whereas actually, if we can do all that work first, and then when the retainer starts, we've got a running start. By the end of month one, I'm giving you a report that shows that we've demonstrated SEO value to your website quickly and efficiently. And that's good for everybody. So that's how we go about selling our SEO retainers. And I would encourage you to think about the products and services that you could offer on a recurring basis, and then break those down a little bit to say, right, so if I want to get going with this really, really quickly and really, really efficiently for my client, my new client, my prospective client, whoever they are, What are the building blocks that I need? And how could I maybe productize or monetize those? So I'm still being paid for the work, but that I'm actually structuring it in a way that helps me build authority and build trust with the end client. Now, the next thing you need to think about is how you can scale these things. Because recurring revenue is great, but what you're actually doing is then committing yourself to produce X amount of work every month forever, regardless of whether it's Christmas or you've got a summer holiday or you're off sick. And if, you know, if you're a one-man band, if you're a solopreneur, then actually you could be liable to burnout, basically, if you sell too many of these things. So it's good to know how and where you can get some relief from this while still engaging in recurring revenue, but actually that it's not all dependent on you. Now, I've already mentioned that we outsource our website maintenance, and we do that to a company that I've known of for a number of years, actually since its inception, and I have a personal relationship with the MD. I trust him to the hilt, and you know, I have no problem going to, his name's Jeffrey, going to Jeffrey with any problem, big or small. And actually what happens now over a period of time is that I can maybe start to bend the rules a little bit and say, look, Jeff, we've got XYZ project that's come in. It maybe doesn't quite fit our model, but you know, it's one that would benefit both of us. And we can now start working a little bit more creatively. That's by the by. From a recurring revenue point of view, I found a supplier that I trust and that I know delivers and has a process that integrates with the process that we have. So Jeff generates all the reports, or Jeff's company generate all the reports for website maintenance. It goes out from a So Digital email address. The client isn't really aware that anybody else other than one of our team is doing it. But to be perfectly frank, they don't care. All they're bothered about is receiving that these are the plugins that were updated. These were the threats that were on your server. This is how they were dealt with. And your website is now safe and secure. As long as they get that information, that's exactly the same work I would be doing. But you know what? I don't have to do it. And I can still make reasonable income, good profit, good percentage profit off those services. And I don't have to do any work for them, which makes them ideal. So you need to think potentially about how you can structure some of these services so that you can outsource them. Now, there are certain things that I won't outsource. I don't like outsourcing copywriting, for example, simply because you need to be able to control the quality of the product that's going out at the other end. Now, you may have somebody that's like your Jeff for copywriting. And if you've got somebody that you can trust that way with that service, then absolutely you go for it if you can and if you want to. That I'm not saying that you have to abide by my rules. But what I am saying is I've been selective about the products and services that I do outsource but still offer to clients. For those products and services that I can't do, then I, you know, at the end of the day, I want to give a holistic service to my client. So I've then started looking for and offering partnerships. So what this means is that, you know, I'm perfectly upfront with the client. This is what we're doing for you. These are the parameters by which we work with. This is our skill set. But you need XYZ over here. And we don't currently do that. So, but I do have a partner organization that I work with, and we, you know, together we can provide this service for you. Likewise, we've started offering SEO services as partnerships to consultants and other agencies, not in a white label format, but in a format by which we can say, look, we will team up with you. You have XYZ skill set. We maybe have some of those skills, but we also have these skills over here, and we can help you supplement what you do for your client by, you know, partnering with you. And we will attend the meetings and we will be on the conference calls, whatever it might be. But our team will do this area of work, which complements your area of work. So overall, it's kind of a win-win-win situation. The client gets a better deal out at the end of it. The consultant or the agency that has the client initially and is struggling to service them to the way the client wants, they get a bit of backup and support, and we get a new client out of it. So it, you know, we work both ways on in both seats with that. We have a partner organization for video content, for example. We don't have video editors in our team, so we have an agency, a video agency that we use basically solely for all of our video work. So that's the kind of thing that we're doing. Now, it has taken us quite a long time to get to a position with these partner organizations that we are comfortable working with them. And I, to tell you the truth, particularly the video supplier, it took us years, and I mean years, to actually find a supplier that fit our model and that we were happy working with. We were happy traveling to clients or putting the partner agency in front of our clients. We've had some disasters. Thankfully, all projects have gone well, and I can hand on heart say that we've always delivered what we're going to promise to a client. But on the same note, I've worked with some people and I've got to the end of a project and kind of thought, thank God that's over. I ain't going back there again. And, you know, that's not to say that they were bad people. They just didn't work the way that we wanted to work. And really, this starts to bring me round to the concluding points, which is, to begin with, you can't rush the development of recurring revenue. It is a process that is going to take a period of time. But if you can break the process down and start thinking about your products and services that you would like to sell on a recurring basis and how you can productize the way into that, then actually it's only a subtle shift to your workflow or to your business development that allows you to sell those productized services to new clients. And then within a few weeks, you're then starting to have discussions about recurring contracts. Likewise, you can't just go and rush into a partnership with a new agency because you need SEO services or you need video services or you need development services, whatever they are. It is going to take time. And frankly, the best way to do that is to start with small projects, small one-off projects that are low risk, and that, you know, if something does really go Pete Tong, you can have it redone by somebody else, or there's the scope to have the work corrected in some way. But yeah, you need to take your time in building those relationships, finding people that you're happy working with, and not being afraid to say, actually, you know what? The product there was fine, but this just isn't going to work. We don't work in that way. And if I'm not comfortable working with you, I'm not comfortable referring you on. Meeting people, even virtually, on social media and seeing what they do, engaging with them, sending somebody that you don't know a private message that says, hey, look, I've just seen you active in Pete's Facebook group, or I've seen you active in Lee's Facebook group, or in Kyle's Facebook group, and I was really interested in what you did with this. How did you go about it? And it could be of interest to me, either personally or for something to do with my business. It's so easy to start building these relationships and then building up a group of people that support you, both from a personal point of view and from a professional point of view. So I'd thoroughly recommend you do that. I hope you found this kind of overview useful. Monthly recurring revenue is something that I am really passionate about, and it's the one thing that, as I said right at the start, I hear lots of the experts talking about, and they kind of take it as a given that people know how to do it. So if you want any more information, please jump into our Facebook group. You can find it at peteeverett.com/group, or check out the show notes for this episode, which you can find at peteeverett.com/055. I hope you've enjoyed this, and I will see you next week.